Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. The big Titans news today, Legarius Sneed on IR with that super secret quad injury that Brian Callahan said today was a quad bruise and a quad strain. Has missed the last 6 weeks, and he'll miss the next four. Says he's not ruling out that he's done for the season, but again, I have a hard time believing Legarius Sneed will be back for week 16 in this really exciting season. So the thing everybody wants to know that nobody actually knows the answer to is how Amy Adams Strunk feels about all of this. Nobody knows. I don't know. You don't know. Ian doesn't know. Maybe she's fine with it, saying, hey, I told everybody this offseason, go pump some sunshine so we can sell the most expensive PSLs during the summer. And then if we stink, we stink, and it's okay. It's probably not what happened, but again, I don't know. But there is one thing that I do know. I know she cares about Sunday's game against the Texans. I don't know if Brian Callahan's on the hot seat or not. In fact, I don't even really know what defines the hot seat anymore. I always think the hot seat is if people are talking about your job and you feel it. That's the hot seat. I mean, when we say things like, you know, is this coach on the hot seat? I mean, sometimes it's obvious. Like, Doug Peterson is on the hot seat, but there's nothing he can do to get off the hot seat. He's getting fired. That's not really a hot seat for me. To me, the hot seat is, man, it's getting hot. You better do something about that. So I have no idea if Brian Callahan is on the hot seat or not. I have no idea. Could be, couldn't be. I mean, again, he's clearly feeling the pressure. If he's telling the CBS broadcasters that he's having to sit down with his kids because people at school are talking about how he might get fired. So I've actually met Brian Callahan's kids before, and I hate hearing that. He might not be on the hot seat. Amy may look at this and say, look, this is not Brian Callahan's fault, and I'm not going to hold him accountable for something that's not his fault. Again, I don't know how she feels. But I do know this. If you want to make sure that you're not on the hot seat, go find a way to win on Sunday. Because if you can beat the Houston Texans, that might change something. Again, I don't know how Amy feels. Maybe she's going to double down on this because the last person who usually realizes a bad decision is the person who made it. So maybe she'll say after the year, no, Rand and Brinker and Callahan are exactly where they should be. Double down. But he can do himself a lot of good with a win on Sunday. Because this Sunday against the Houston Texans is not the same as every other Sunday. For starters, we know that for the ownership of the Titans, their biggest rival, it's the Texans. They're from Houston. They live in Houston. And they've got the middle finger from the city of Houston. Bud Adams got his butt kicked by a Texas boot on his way out. Floyd used to talk about how they wanted, I think, $100 million to build a new stadium. Houston said no. They ended up paying $1 billion for a new stadium 6-7 years later. Secondly, Hannah McNair, who I think her title is vice president, but her real title is owner's wife. Hannah McNair takes shots at the Titans every chance she gets, including yesterday saying, quote, we've taken Houston back and, quote, they're just the Titans now. This matters to the Titans brass. The Texans, and not getting embarrassed by the Texans, matters to the Titans brass. If you're Brian Callahan and you find a way to win on Sunday, that will do you a lot of good after a Sunday where the Vikings took over your stadium and we had to sit here on Monday celebrating a moral victory. Did you win? No, but the refs screwed us so we can feel a little better. Now, do I think the Titans can win on Sunday against Texas? Probably not. Is Brian Callahan on the hot seat? With this owner, who knows? But what I do know is this owner and her family hate the Texans. And they hate losing to the Texans. It is personal for ownership with Houston. And I have no doubt that losing to the Texans in the Oilers throwbacks last year when the Texans were playing Case Keenum at quarterback was a huge part in Mike Vrabel's firing, even if they never said that. So whatever tricks Brian Callahan's got in the bag, you know, the triple reverse double pass option, whatever. We're going to run a play where Jaquan Jackson lines up at quarterback. Will Levis lines up at tight end. We're going to hand it to Tony Pollard, who flips it behind his back to Levis, who throws it down the field to Ridley. We've been holding that in the bag all year. Take it out on Sunday. Sunday would be a good time to pull something out of your rear end. Because so far, by my count, the Titans have played four good teams this year. Detroit, Buffalo, the Chargers, and Minnesota. Detroit, Buffalo, and the Chargers were all complete and total blowouts. The Vikings game was close. And I won't say all will be forgiven if they beat the Texans, but I can promise you that Monday's phone call that Brian Callahan says he has every week with the owner will be much, much, much better if they can celebrate a win over the aren't really as good as I thought they would be this season Texans, especially in her hometown. So I don't know what the line on the game is, and the Titans are, what is it, 1-9 against the spread this year, matching the amount of times that they didn't cover last year. But again, if you can find a way to avoid getting embarrassed on Sunday, you better do it. Because not all these Sundays are the same, and not even the embarrassments are the same. I can tell you right now, getting embarrassed by the Detroit Lions when they're owned by Sheila Ford Hamp, who is Amy Adams Strunk's good friend, probably a lot more angering of the brass than getting blown out by the Chargers, who, again, there's no relationship between the Titans and the Chargers and Harbaugh and the Titans. There's nothing personal with the Chargers. Nobody hates the Chargers. Not even the Rams, who share the same building, hate the Chargers. Not even the teams in their own division hate the Chargers. Nobody hates the Chargers. So, again, this Sunday, I don't know how you're going to do it. Because the Texans are pretty much better than you at every single position. And the Texans can rush the quarterback. And you're going to be starting Nicholas Petit-Ferrera, a.k.a.?
PT.
PT at right tackle this week. And PT has allowed 7 sacks this season. So, again, I don't know how you're going to do it. And I don't know if Brian Callahan is technically on the hot seat or not on the hot seat. I have no idea. There are some people that keep saying, no, 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 Jared, this is a planned tank, and Amy is fine with all of this, and everybody's coming back, and they're in lockstep, and Amy knows it, and I have a hard time thinking that Amy's okay with lighting $25 million of her cash on fire in luxurious need, and a third-round pick. I have a hard time believing Amy was okay with Malik Willis walking into Nissan Stadium and turning into Michael Vick. I have a hard time believing that Amy was fine with getting her hat handed to her by her friend Sheila Ford Hamp and the Lions. I have a hard time believing that Amy Adams Strunk looked out, saw the sea of purple in the stands on Sunday and said, yeah, it's okay. But again, I don't know. And with Amy, even when they tell you, you don't know. They told Diana Russini on Thanksgiving last year, Vrabel was safe no matter what, and they fired him 2 days after the season. Apparently, the only person who does know how this owner feels is Mike Mularkey. And boy, did he make her look bad. So, again, if you're Brian Callahan, I know you try to win every game. And so far, your trying has not resulted in a lot of winning. I got it. And I know you bawled your eyes out after that Patriot win because you had to have it, which probably does make me think he's on the hot seat. But this one's personal to her. It's actually kind of funny to me because I don't care about the Texans. Like, I mean, do I like the Texans? No. But I don't hate the Texans. I hate the Ravens. Jacksonville, I don't really have a problem with. Though I look at Jacksonville as like a, even for the Titans, I look at Jacksonville as like a beneath me franchise. Like, everything about them is dirty and gross and just Jacksonville. Indy, I don't like Indy only because Indy thinks all that success they had for 20 years was because of them. It's not. It's because of Peyton Manning. And he only won one Super Bowl with it, so woo! So I guess I don't like Indy, but I really don't like Baltimore. I don't care about the Texans. The Texans do not matter to me. But they matter to her. And again, I don't know how she feels. And even when she tells you how she feels, just like she did with Malarkey, just like she did with Vrabel, she might be lying. But it will tell you this. She does care about winning this game on Sunday. Probably would still weigh the Texans minus 7.5. 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis joins us next on the program. As always, Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game. Let me tell all the fine folks out there, while I have your attention, it's probably be a good idea to do some of this. This week's Nashville's Best Deals, Bavarian Beer House. Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. And be sure to tune into our college football game of the week tomorrow at 11 a.m. as Indiana takes on Ohio State, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Reminder, we've got some Jelly Roll tickets to give away later on the show, so be listening for your opportunity to do that. And tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow for Vandy Football, presented by Prince's Hot Chicken. The Commodores will take on LSU with pregame at 5 o'clock. Kickoff at 6:45. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us on the program. Corey, your reaction to the news, the Legarius Sneed has been placed on IR, will miss the next four games, has missed the last five games. That'll be at least nine total. Callahan says he might come back for week 16. Wink, wink. What do you make of that?
This is weird. I mean, this is weird, like Vic Beasley not showing up. This is weird, like Isaiah Panda Wilson just not wanting to be a football player. And I'm not saying he doesn't want to be a football player, doesn't want to play. But it's weird because I don't understand how the diagnosis was so far off on a timeline. And I know the human body is a funky thing, but it's disappointing. It's strange. And you know, their lack of putting him on IR earlier is just really weird.
So I'm going to ask you this, and I know you hate when I do this, but right. I'm going to ask you this, which is, yeah. Do you believe the Titans when it comes to Legarius Sneed and this whole, you know,
it was
a helmet of the quad against the Colts? Thank you.
No, I mean, look, I'd like to. I don't think Brian Callahan's a liar by any means. But I don't – I've never gone through, in 20 years of covering the NFL, something quite like this that I can remember. Can you?
Where it felt like somebody was lying straight up?
Well, no, just where, like, a guy, you know, he said, look, I mean, we've known guys who've had hamstrings, and it's going to be a few more weeks, but sure. Never like a guy who, you know, I mean, look, when he didn't go on IR, it told you he was going to be back in 3 or 4 weeks. That's what it told you. And what are we on, like, now, week 7?
Well, Callahan said today, I laughed my ass off when I heard this cut. Callahan said today that they originally thought that it was a quad bruise and a quad strain. And the level of strain that they saw was a 3-week injury. And I'm like, that's convenient.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not comparing myself to Legarius Sneed. I've strained my quad, and it hurts, and you cannot run, and you cannot function. And I understand, you know, if, you know, he's hurt. And so if he's hurt, he can't play. I get that. But I'm with you where how do you say it's a 3-week strain, and here we are a month and a half later, and now it's going on injured reserve, so he's had at least a month more. I mean, that's just it. Look, if it's not a lie, it's somebody straight up whiffed on what their duties were.
Very interesting take. May have to reuse that one. Corey Curtis here on our program. Is there anything different about Legarius Sneed than the other guys that were brought in that have been injured? Awuzie's hurt. Cushenberry's hurt, you know, torn Achilles. I mean, we saw Cushenberry walking off the field, and it was like, yeah, he's hurt. Is there something different, given all of the talk about Snead's medicals when they acquired him, given the fact that he was kind of the crown jewel in terms of money and the draft pick and everything else to acquire him, of what his injury and this whole Furkacsa situation represents as far as the Titans' offseason approach and the money they spent and what they did? Does this reflect any differently on Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker than the other injuries that they've had from the new guys?
Well, I mean, look, he was supposed to be the cornerstone, right? I mean, so number one, you know, yes, it's different because he was the prize piece, like you talked about. And, you know, not only is he not playing, but when he did play, he wasn't that player that everyone wanted to see. Would you say that's accurate?
Agreed.
Okay. So, I mean, he wasn't terrible, but he wasn't top five corner in the NFL. That's not what we saw from him. And, you know, with the history of the knee that came with the signing and with the summer where we didn't see him on the practice field all summer until training camp, you know, it raises questions about his health, his durability in the guy that you're bringing in. So that's another thing that makes it, you know, certainly different. And the third one that makes it different is he finished that game. Yeah, he didn't leave the game early. He finished.
He made
the
last defensive tackle.
Yeah. And so, you know, that was the other one. He is, you know, how is he able to finish the game? And now he's hurt so badly, he's out 2.5 months, 3 months.
Corey Curtis with us here from News 2. So what's your take on the Titans putting Nicholas Petit-Frere, a.k.a. PT, back at right tackle?
It means they're desperate, Jared. They don't have anything else. And there's apparently nothing else on planet Earth that appeals to them more. I mean, I don't know how many. I imagine, like, remember the old, like, Montgomery Ward catalogs? You know, you page through and you order your clothes out of them. I imagine a catalog of tackles and guards and just paging through. You know, no, 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 no.
I mean, they got the yes on Isaiah Prince, and he can't even get lined up right.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, we've heard for years that the level of offensive line play was a problem in the NFL. This is damning that they can't find someone. I mean, look, MPF has obviously lost his confidence. His play has obviously dropped down from whatever level it was at before, which was more acceptable than it is now. But they can't find someone. And look, John Ojukwu is what he is. He does not have very good lateral movement. This is a nightmare of a matchup for the Titans, you know, and for them to basically acknowledge we're putting this guy out there because we have no choice. And, you know, Brian Callahan said it on Monday. He's never been through something like this before. Does not breed confidence that he thinks he's going to see a heck of a lot better from Nicholas Petit-Frere in this one.
Yeah. Corey, have you been encouraged by Will Levis the last 2 weeks? Do you think it means anything long term?
Sure. You know, absolutely. I think it looks like the game has slowed down for him a little bit. I think in a game where he was under duress a lot, he didn't make any crazy decisions. Did he miss some that he could have made? Probably. But I think every quarterback does miss some that they could make. I think he's looked more under control. And I think he's gotten some of his confidence back. I think that's the biggest thing, you know, that you get a chance to see what he can really do if he's more confident. Does that mean I think he's a long-term answer? No, not yet. I need to see more. I need to see him build on it. But it certainly is a step in the right direction for him and for the team.
What do we make of the fact that Levis can play well and they score 13 to 17 points? Levis can play like absolute ass and they score 17 points. Mason Rudolph can go in there for Levis and they score 17 points. What does that tell us?
It tells us it's not all on the quarterback. It tells us that they make a lot of mistakes that cost them points. You know, whether it be negative yardage runs, but especially the pre-snap penalties. Those are just absolute killers. And let's face it, this team has had points taken off the boards by the Zebras. You know, there are a number of games where they could have been in the 20s if some touchdowns had just been allowed to be touchdowns.
Yeah, but if you don't get lined up right, I can't blame the referees for that one.
Yeah, you know, I get that. I've seen the play. I think somebody had a bad bowl of Cheerios in the morning and called through that flag.
Mm. Corey Curtis with us on the program. If you were doing an interview in another city, so let's say Corey Curtis, the sports director at Channel 2 in Nashville, WKRN, joins us now on the program to preview the Titans and the Texans. And they asked you the question, is Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, are they on the hot seat? What would you say?
I would say with the amount of money that's going out to Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, it would be difficult for me to believe that they would be ready to make, you know, that kind of move. Do I think that there could be some tinkering within things after the season? You know, sure I do. But I just don't know that they're ready to pull the plug at this point. I certainly think it's been disappointing. I certainly think that there's some frustration. And I certainly think that, you know, that if they don't get better next year, then there's definitely the seat's really, really hot. I just think year one is tough. And I know there have been teams that have made changes, you know, in year one before. You know, and that's, you know, if you think people are grossly incompetent or not. I don't think Brian Callahan is grossly incompetent. I think the organization has done some things that don't make a heck of a lot of sense, particularly your favorite spot, you know, at right tackle. But I don't know how much of that is on him. I don't know how much of that's on Bill, and I don't know how much of that's on Ran and Chad.
By the way, next year when you do these interviews before the preseason games, you may have to hook whoever the coach is. You may have to hook them up to a polygraph when you sit down with them, just so that we get the, you know, because I really want to know, like, you know, they looked you in the eye and said, "We believe in PT," but I really want to know.
Yeah.
With that, it is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week?
You know what? You may disagree with me. I don't know, but I think that NFL GMs, you know, if you're going to take that job, you have to understand the big boy job that it is. And I know they don't have a long leash or as long as they used to, but they're going to have to knuckle up and stop writing bad quarterback contracts. And I'm saying this on the heels of Daniel Jones, yes, which we all knew was a bad contract when they signed it. But when I look at the deals for Trevor Lawrence and the deals for, you know, Dak Prescott and some of these guys who have not achieved at the highest level, getting the highest dollars, at some point you need to say no. And you say, you know what? We will move on because you're not Joe Burrow. You're not Patrick Mahomes. You're not Matthew Stafford. When you are them, we will pay you like them, but you're not them. And I'm not saying they don't deserve
it.
With Dak, I wouldn't have given him $60 million. I would not.
Because I think there's a big difference between Dak and Daniel Jones.
There is a big difference between Dak, but he's also making $60 million. If he's only willing to play for $60 million, then he can go play for somebody else. How many NFC championships has Dak been to?
Zero.
Thank you very much. What has Dak's number one problem been?
Doesn't win in the playoffs.
And turnovers?
Sure.
Massive amount of turnovers?
See, I guess where I disagree with you.
But see, that's it. He's fine. But is fine $60 million? No. It's not.
Here's where I guess
Patrick
I would disagree
Holmes
with
doesn't
you.
Make that.
To me, it's the market. And I don't – Daniel Jones is a different discussion. Even Trevor Lawrence, different discussion. Because they didn't have to give him the $55 million when they gave him the $55 million. They chose to give him
could've
that million.
Him.
But – well, they could have picked up his fifth-year option and they could have tagged him twice.
Yeah.
But
– you know they did. You know what the Jags did? They hoped. They hoped if they paid him, he would become that guy. And we always
I get the
say,
Dak thing, though. Because let's say Dak was a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You don't think the Titans would be willing to pay $60 million
sure.
to bring Dak Prescott
maybe.
In?
Maybe. I don't know. But I don't know if I would. I mean, look, quarterbacks have to be the guy that can get the team over the hump. They just do. I mean, that's what we talk about with Ryan Tannehill all the time. Good.
But see, those guys
really
just don't exist.
Yeah, they do. They do
no,
exist.
There are four of them on the planet.
Go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? The guys that aren't one of the four on the planet don't get paid like the four on the planet. And, you know, I know you could say it's the market. Reset the market. Say no.
So just cross your arms and say, well, the Minnesota Vikings did that. The Minnesota Vikings crossed their arms and they said no, and they signed Sam Darnold over Kirk Cousins, and it's working out for them.
Yeah, it is working out for them. And you know what? How much are they paying Sam Darnold?
$10 million.
Oh, that's not 60.
No.
That's not 60.
No.
And you know
somebody
what?
Somebody will pay Sam
they're
probably
gonna...
50 this year.
Yep, and you know what? It won't be the Vikings because they're going to go with J.J. McCarthy.
We shall see. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, on our program. Corey, great stuff. We'll talk soon.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Have a great weekend.
Yep, Corey Curtis joining us, as always. So speaking of front offices and hot seats, and it sounded like Corey said that they're not on the hot seat if he was sports director Corey Curtis from WKRN in Nashville, if he was that. But the one excuse, the one reason why I'm told they shouldn't be on the hot seat, I just don't believe in this. And I think the team you're playing this week gives you an example of what actually could be. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game. So when I said we were giving away Jelly Roll tickets later in the show, I wonder if you thought, oh, that means I should listen at 4:30 or at 5 o'clock, or at, maybe you should be listening now. Be caller 5-615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to see Jelly Roll live at Bridgestone Arena. Good luck on this one. Tuesday, November 26th, I have been to the Jelly Roll concert, and I will tell you, it is worth the hype. So enjoy. Contest is supplied by Chiba Hut Subs, serving up dank food and chill vibes. Now open in Donaldson. That's Chiba Hut Subs and 102.5 The Game.
I'm saying that in terms of why she won't. That's why I'm predicting she won't. Because I'm not saying, again, you continue to twist that. I'm just saying that's why I don't think she will. You
get
it?
Because she did her homework?
No, because she understands that perception. That's why I'm predicting she won't. I'm not saying that's why she can't. If she thinks they're bad, do it. That's fine.
Do you think they're bad?
I think that right now the results aren't great. I wouldn't fire them until another offseason. I know that's just an incredibly controversial take.
That was Joe Rexroad this morning when I was on with Robbie and Rexroad. And Joe says every time this comes up, Joe, do you think the front office should be fired? Now, I'll give him credit because he has said multiple times the answer is no. But every time he does this, I mean, it would look so incredibly stupid if she fired them again after all the things that she's done. It would look so incredibly bad. And if these guys are incompetent, she should have done her homework, so she should know that they're not incompetent. That's his logic. That she should know that they're not incompetent because she hired them. Well, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but what she don't know could fill up a room right now. In terms, it could fill up the new stadium right now. So I keep hearing this whole can't fire them. And it's never about performance. It's never like, well, you can't fire them because they're doing too good of a job. It's never that. It's always, it's either not fair to fire them. It's either Amy should know that they're good because she hired them, which is, again, I think ridiculous. And then there is, Jared, you can't fire everyone all the time because it would look bad. Do you want to be the Cleveland Browns, Jared? First of all, the Cleveland Browns have had the same head coach, GM, since 2020. It's almost 2025. So it's not like they fire the coach every year. They went through a stretch where they did that, and it was bad. But again, can I ask a question? Can I be the Texans? Can I be the 49ers? Again, the finger wagging is, do you want to be the Cleveland Browns? The Cleveland Browns have 3 wins. The Tennessee Titans have 2 wins. You are the Cleveland Browns. Do you want to be the Carolina Panthers? You are the Carolina Panthers. Again, firing a staff or firing a GM or firing an operation 1 year into a management change or management reorganization or management restructuring or management It's not unheard of. In fact, the Titans did it last year. And the Titans basically did it the year before. Because she extended John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and then fired. So it's not like it's unheard of. But again, whenever we talk about how we can't fire the Titans because the performance is bad, because it'll look bad and we don't want to be the Cleveland Browns, we never mention the Texans, who you're about to play on Sunday, who's going to win the division this year. Would the Texans be this good if they had kept Lovie Smith or David Culley? Again, they changed their management structure and immediately realized that Bill O'Brien shouldn't be GM, and they fired him. Then they hired David Culley. They fired him. They brought in Lovie Smith. They fired him. Stephen A. Smith said on TV after they fired Lovie Smith, black coaches need not apply for the Houston Texans, because he was so mad at them. It doesn't get worse than that. They hired DeMeco Ryans, and now they're good. Divisional round of the playoffs last year, and again, they're not as good as they should be this year, but they're good enough. What about the 49ers? The 49ers had a Robinson-Vrabel-type power struggle, or Carthon-Vrabel, whatever you want to call it, between Trent Baalke, who sucks, and Jim Harbaugh, who does not. They chose Baalke. That was a mistake. They hired Jim Tom Sula to be the head coach. He farted during his press conferences and lasted 1 year. They fired him. The next year, they hired Chip Kelly. After 1 year, they fired him. And boy, did Jed York, the owner, get it. It is considered a legendary press conference. If you go back to it, when Jed York said the reason why he has confidence that he'll go get the right guys are because I'm the owner and the owner doesn't get fired, period. Jed York said at the time, quote, my vision of Trent and Chip working together, I think it's clear that Trent probably has more of a defensive mind. Pairing Baalke with an offensive-minded guy, having those guys be partners, but the marriage didn't work. I should have probably seen it. It's easy to play revisionist history, but we are who we are. That's why we're cleaning the slate and we're reestablishing the culture. They brought in Kyle Shanahan. So for everybody out there that finger wags me and tells me that you can't fire the GM, you can't fire the coach, you can't clean house, same people that told me last year I couldn't clean house. I wanted to clean house. You can't fire a general manager after 1 year, so I have to promote him? Because that's what they did. Thank you for signing Andre Dillard. Here's a promotion. So you can do that. But you can't fire him after 1 year. I wanted to clean house last year. Wasn't allowed to do it. Now I'm not allowed to do it either, because if I do it, I'll be the Cleveland Browns. Again, you are the Cleveland Browns. Why can't I be the Texans? Why can't I be the 49ers? Why can't I do what Jed York did right there? Which was, I thought this was going to work. I should have seen it. I didn't. But now we're wiping the slate clean. Nobody ever says that, and I don't get it. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. 615-737-1025 here on our program if you want to weigh in. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 1025-1063 The Game. And let me tell all the fine folks to tune in. Be sure to tune in when it comes to Vandy women's basketball tonight on 1021 The Ville. That's right. The Commodores will be will be at Memorial Gym taking on Samford. Tip-off is at 6:30. Pre-game begins at 6:15. So get excited about that. And tomorrow, tune into 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville for MTSU football, where the Blue Raiders will take on New Mexico State with kickoff at 1:30. Pre-game starts at noon. MTSU football coverage on 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville, presented by Sloan's Motorcycle and ATV. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game. Be sure to join the Nashville Predators tomorrow for a special 6 o'clock puck drop as they welcome back to Smashville Hockey Hall of Famers David Poile and Shea Weber. There will be a ceremonial puck drop ahead of the game. The coverage begins at 5 o'clock on 102.5 The Game and at the Game Nashville app. And again, that's a special 6 o'clock puck drop time, not the traditional 7. So, I got to say something that I honestly want to say this in the most respectful way possible. I'm going to say this Ian, Chris Sanders style.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mean to be disrespectful, because I respect it. But if the Predators lose tomorrow, I'm probably out on the season. Like, I think that tomorrow night, and tomorrow night, if they beat the Winnipeg Jets, the best team in the NHL, if they beat the Jets tomorrow night, to me, it is not a, we're back, baby! It's not that. But it's more like a stay of execution if they are to win the Winnipeg Jet game tomorrow. But I don't, I mean, I pulled up the Athletics power rankings today. Ian, you want to take a guess where the Predators rank in the Athletics power rankings?
29?
32.
Mm.
Dead freaking last. And apparently, as part of the power rankings, they graded every team. The Predators, one guy gave them an X for a grade. I don't even know that that's a grade. The other guy gave them an F. An F! Nobody gives Fs in sports media, ever. It's like our education system. Nobody gets Cs anymore. They all get As. Because if not, the parents will call the principal, and they don't want that, so A. And in sports media, you'll never see Mel Kiper Jr. give a team an F for their draft. And right now, the Predators are getting an F for their season. And I don't know what the problem is. And deep down inside, they don't know what the problem is either. And that is an issue in and of itself. It could be that this new system with Andrew Burnett just hasn't clicked. It could be that Barry Trotz did invest in guys that are over the hill. It could be any number of things. But Thanksgiving is less than a week away. And U.S. Thanksgiving is traditionally a very important line of demarcation when it comes to the NHL season. And some people will say, well, if you're not in the playoffs at U.S. Thanksgiving, the odds of making the playoffs, you know, are X, Y, Z. If you're in last place on Thanksgiving, that can't be a good sign. But Jared, the 2019 St. Louis Blues, I know. It's happened before. That does not mean that it will happen again. And so, I don't think the coach should be fired. I do want to know if there really is an explanation for why this thing has gone so haywire. And I know that if they lose on Saturday, they'll say, well, we still are in the mix. We just have to win. I think today Sean Henry said on the midday show, he said 6 out of 10 games. It'll be 7 out of every 10 games the rest of the way if they lose tomorrow, whatever. But for me, the idea that this team will figure it out and there will be enough time on the schedule to be able to turn it around, I just don't necessarily see that. And I'd love to be wrong. I mean, again, I hope they win tomorrow so we don't have to write off the season, but I mean, I would be love to be wrong. They lose tomorrow, and I wished it would be better. I expected it to be better. It's not better, but I'm writing off the season. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think we should start talking about tanking so that they can get the number one pick, because I think the number one pick is, Ian, supposedly pretty good this year.
I think so. I'm not
like,
sure.
Like, he's not Bedard quality.
No, but I haven't heard anything.
Celebrini quality.
I haven't heard anything crazy like that, no.
I think he plays at BC or something like that. So, you know, hey, let's get the number one pick. Let's see if he can be your Patrick Kane. Let's go from there. Like, that is what I believe. If you lose tomorrow, that's how my mindset's going to be. And I'm not going to say quit. I'm not going to say, you know, but it will turn into what Barry talks about getting some of these young players up here. Like, I know they love Luke Shen, for instance. Luke Shen, he can't skate worth a crap, but he's a serial winner out of the lineup. Put Willsby in. Put whoever in, Scarbini in, put whoever from Milwaukee, bring them up. You're in. Because I know what Luke Shen is and what he's not. So, again, I don't think I've been making excuses for the Predators, though the Boohoo Titans crew in the YouTube chat will argue that. But I haven't given up. Last Friday, they got shut out by Calgary, and for me, that was a very big, they might be toast this year moment. They really might be. I hated the game on Wednesday night. Hated it. Because even though it's like, gosh, we played a great first period, but we didn't have anything to show for it, but we, that's what losers say. Well, I like the way we played in the first period. And I can only do that for so long. And again, it's not like you're approaching U.S. Thanksgiving and you're 1 point out of a playoff spot. You're in last place. You're 32nd on the power rankings. But there is something about tomorrow night's game that I actually do feel if you can win. And again, I'm not saying we're back, baby. But I am saying, hey, there might be a little something here. Is by beating the best team in the NHL. Which is what the Winnipeg Jets are. If you beat the Winnipeg Jets, you can say, hey, we got together on the road trip. We came out and we beat this team and whatever. But you can at least take that as a positive to try to spring you forward with the last week of these games before Thanksgiving. And what do they play, four games next week? Because I believe, Ian, if I'm not mistaken, they play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
I believe that is correct, yep.
You win Saturday, take that positive momentum. Now, what they've done this year is they win a game like they'll win Saturday, and then they'll lose Monday. But this time, you win Saturday, then you win Monday, you win Wednesday, okay. On we go. That would get me, the three would get me a little close to, okay, maybe they're back, baby. But tomorrow would just be a stay of execution. Maybe it's too early, but again, I remember the Houston Astros in 2004, 2005. They were horrible at the All-Star break each year. And they ended up making it to Game 7 of the NLCS 1 year, and they made it to the World Series the next year. And it was like, boy, the Astros in the second half with Phil Garner. That's the exception, not the rule. So they don't win tomorrow. It's going to be hard for me to keep doing this game of, well, you know what? They can make it now. You know, they just need to win this one, and they need to, no. You know, we've done far too much of that. Well, maybe they can turn it around here. And tomorrow for me, you're 32nd in the power rankings. Tomorrow for me is and I promise you the other team, Winnipeg, will not be playing like this. They're playing tonight. Connor Hellebuyck is starting in net, so he's not going to play tomorrow. So it's not going to be an everything-on-the-line game for the Jets. It should be an everything-on-the-line game for you. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. The big news, L'Jarius Sneed, the crown jewel of the Titans free agent bonanza. And this one cost him a third-round pick. The crown jewel on IR with his mysterious quad helmet injury. Coming up next, the reality that I hate to say, but it's the truth, whether you want to admit it or not, and I think a lot of you are starting to see my viewpoint a little bit more, and I'll explain why. We'll do it next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.